The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Getting a little rain here, at least in this part of town. I'm telling you, earlier today, no rain. There was some thunder at around noon, threatening skies. The wind blew, and it was just hot. Hot. Talked to a younger son on the way in today. He was cutting his grass then. That's hotter. I tried to get things started early this morning. Still takes too long. So, like I said yesterday, if you have to be out in this stuff, be careful. I tried my best. Let's see. I told my wife, she goes, she just called to check and make sure I was okay. She keeps expecting me, you know, to come home and find me just laid out in the yard. Because, I do get serious about trying to get yard work and stuff done. But I told her, no, look, I mean, today I've had 2 bottles of water, 3 Gatorades, 6 popsicles, and a banana.
So, there you go.
I mean,
You aren't going to cramp anytime soon.
I hope not. Dan has seen it Friday afternoons. That's something that can happen as we sit here. But, yeah, welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. That's Carter. Over there, as Drew is, Drew's going to visit family.
Drew?
He's going to visit family down in Florida.
I think it's like a nephew's birthday, maybe, or something. Flimsy. That I heard.
Flimsy reason to take a Friday off, Drew.
Yeah. he worked his other job.
Did he? Oh, he was taping it? Yeah.
Yeah.
When's that finished up?
Classes end Monday.
Monday is the last day
of the summer term.
And then
finals are next week.
Finals are next week. And then what was the first day of the fall?
The 16th.
Wow. Okay, so we are.
So it's coming up.
We're approaching it. And then high schools are starting next week, right?
Yes.
Next 2 weeks?
Opelika City Schools, I believe, start the 3rd. Auburn City Schools start the 8th. I've seen the signs up, meet your teacher City School, you know, for the elementary schools, is the 4th. That's next Friday.
And like I said,
school is about back.
Halloween candy on shelves. We're already at that point at some stores. So we're already at the...
Not just that. I mean, there's Halloween decorations. Decorations have already been up in some places.
I walked into Home Depot on, was this Monday or Tuesday night, and there was a 15-foot Grim Reaper skeleton. I was like, what are we doing?
That's right. That's the next thing.
We're 2 weeks from Santa, like being
You'll have Thanksgiving here, you know.
Are there really Thanksgiving, like, true decorations?
No, it's Santa season days before Halloween now.
I'm with Dan on that
shelves. You'll see places getting ready for Christmas stuff. You know, midway through October and maybe even earlier than that. But it's to see Halloween stuff.
Oh, Halloween. Before, the Halloween before. Decorations. And shout out. Let me say this. Home Depot has some outstanding Halloween decorations. I mean, I've got a peg leg pirate, an animated peg leg pirate that I got there a few years ago.
You got a favorite guy.
Got a parrot on his shoulder that talks.
You got someone who helps you when you go to the Home Depot. You got someone in particular you could shout out at least, so we're not just, you know, it's not like a faceless corporation. Is there?
Well, one of my wife's former co-workers, Catherine.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely.
Because I know
they're at Home Depot.
The last time I was at Home Depot on behalf of the station, I think it was for Powerade. I want to say we did those live broadcasts a couple years ago, and we had a couple of people, a couple of listeners came up, and that the Home Depot parking lot is a place where you might find some folks who listen to the Drive. The Home Depot parking lot on a weekend, right? Like a Saturday or Sunday afternoon is where you might find some people are going to come up because they might be doing their shopping and they might be doing their also some Home Depot employees were also big fans. So that was I know we're popular over there, and so absolutely the Halloween decorations, is that what you were?
I'm telling you, they have an excellent selection of the animated and things like that. I have a grandchild now, and she'll only be, you know, a year and a half.
You did not get her at Home Depot.
No, I didn't get her at Home Depot, okay, but I've gotten some things that could scare her pretty good at Home Depot. But she'll probably be a little too little for that right now. But I've been collecting some things over the last few years. I have a decent collection. It's crazy. I mean, don't have little kids around the house anymore. But I want to go ahead and put stuff.
Does your neighborhood tend to go pretty serious for Halloween?
Or are you the houses? No. There's like two or three houses in the neighborhood that do. So it's sort of like a house, then a couple of houses down on the other side of the road, then a couple of houses down, and it sort of goes that way. And we're right there, sort of after you skip a couple of houses, then we have them. Now, my next door neighbors, they have those eternal decorations. You know, the Christmas lights that they have out that they never take down.
Wait a minute. Now, do they just turn them on?
No, they just don't turn them on.
Wow. Do they turn them? Wait, are they like in like on like a back patio? Or are they like turned into party lights?
They're wound up big crepe myrtles.
Okay.
Wow.
And they're just there.
Okay.
That's
are they colored bulbs?
Oh yes.
Or white? Okay.
They're colored.
You know, I had the discussion with somebody.
Halloween decoration.
I don't know if the white bulb is necessarily a Christmas or holiday decoration. Like I think you can decorate
exactly
with now I think when you go
my new neighbors across the street have string white lights out in the back, which is cool.
And I don't think that's necessarily it can be people use that as a holiday decoration often, but I feel like that can just be sort of a festive thing for a porch.
Well, when you've got the white icicles hanging off your your roof.
When they get more,
that is a Christmas decoration.
Yeah, when you got
luckily not in my neighborhood, but there are quite a few places where you see those. And those don't just blend into the bush or anything. It's like, come on.
Yeah, reindeer pulling a sleigh. Doesn't that's not really a year round sort of thing to have as a some of it can walk the line. Right of is that
yeah, Frosty's or? Frosty's not usually hanging out in the middle of the summer.
No, you got to dress Frosty up in different seasonal stuff, right?
So Frosty on a surfboard.
Yeah, he's got to be Uncle Sam for a while. He's got
Christmas
be a,
in July. Yeah,
he's got to be a leprechaun for the So anyways,
we get to this?
Home Depot.
Yeah, something.
Well, we were talking about Halloween decorations
out Halloween
there.
Halloween decorations are already up.
Oh, yeah, you said Halloween decorations. You said Home Depot, and there we went. Yeah. I mean, you just never know which direction we're going to go. There is plenty to talk
Fridays
about.
Fridays feel like they go that way, though.
Yeah, but I mean, and used to be at this time of year, especially. I mean, because it would be the last weekend before fall camp gets started. It is that, but it's also Big Cat this weekend.
And you know what? Explain why the Perry Thompson thing is such a big deal to folks who maybe like they've heard the name and they know there's some interest in what he might do this weekend and what that could mean. Like, how are you? Because I imagine that's something you might the office phone might ring and someone might be want.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right about that. So, I had to stop and pick up a prescription and my phone rang. You and I got three calls.
My question was a good one, though.
No, yeah.
And by the way, Bagwell's too busy today. But we could do another day.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. I mean, because high school practice is going to be starting as well. I believe they'll start after Auburn starts practice, though. I heard him talking about that because the state wants to start it in August on a Monday. And since August starts on a Tuesday, that means they miss a week, really, where they ought to be practicing.
Okay.
So anyway. So
Perry Thompson.
Yeah, Perry Thompson. I mean, there are multiple reasons. One, Auburn has been looking for receivers, and he is a big-time receiver prospect. He's also, he's an Alabama commit from an area that has been pretty darn crimson through the years. I mean, we're thinking about this. I mean, Julio Jones, DJ Fluker,
mm-hmm.
Kenny Stabler. I mean, there's some
where'd
pretty
they,
prominent.
They go?
Yeah, they're all from Foley.
Where else did they go?
Well, they all went to Alabama. That's right. Yeah, and I think Perry Thompson's been committed to Alabama for a while, but
yes.
But I have not heard anyone say that Auburn doesn't have a chance. As a matter of fact, Alabama folks are not happy with Perry Thompson. They really wanted him to come to the barbecue this weekend. Now, I haven't seen that he is in town here in Auburn yet.
And, you know, history.
But he could be in any time.
History is important. You mentioned the guys from Foley who ended up going to Alabama and being very prominent players at Alabama. You think about Auburn's history of signing wide receivers out of high school who were rated as among the nation's best.
And it's few and far between.
Yeah, Ferguson had Ben Obomanu as the last consensus five-star that Auburn signed out of high school at wide receiver. Tim Hawthorne was a top 50 player. He would be the last.
You had Kyle Davis
and Nate Craig.
Nate Craig Myers that both at one point in their cycle were five stars but kind of dropped off to that 60-70 range.
Yeah,
we're not
fives by the end. And so it's, I mean, those are a handful of your top recruits at receiver over the last two decades. Perry Thompson would be considerably bigger deal than any of those guys were.
Yeah,
you know, if current projections hold, Auburn doesn't have a history of signing receivers like that.
Oh yeah,
Hugh Freeze does. Hugh Freeze, mm-hmm. going back to his time at Ole Miss. I mean, he signed Laquon Treadwell. You had I forget the other receiver. Moncrief? But then you also had the two that he signed. Metcalf and
A.J. Brown.
And A.J. Brown, both in his last recruiting cycle, didn't get to coach those guys, but he was the coach who signed them at Ole Miss in the class of 2017, a couple of months before.
He had an Auburn High kid and Cody Core as well, right?
I believe that's also, and I think he signed Shea Patterson in that class, who would have been a five-star mm-hmm. quarterback. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it was also, you know, question.
Van Jefferson, all those names. Like, he's put out a lot of high-level receivers, recruited a lot of high-level receivers that made their way to the NFL. If you look at his coaching...
Poaching a Foley wide receiver
from
Alabama, committed to Alabama...
is big.
It, not just big, it would be uncharacteristic for Auburn to do that. But
on the heels, if they're able to do that on the heels of flipping DeMarcus Riddick from Georgia when Alabama also wanted him, no, it would... I mean, what a huge statement.
Yep.
I mean, it's already been – this was a big statement with DeMarcus Riddick. If Auburn gets Perry Thompson, it is a huge statement and something that will be, you know, recognized nationally. I mean, DeMarcus Riddick has already been, but, I mean, it'll be like, oh, wow, these guys, you know, are serious. They're a serious contender for any top player.
So what else are you watching for this weekend with Big Cat?
I mean, you'd love to pick up an offensive lineman or two. I mean, the fact that one of the top offensive linemen in the country is making his way back to Auburn on his own from California, I think that says an awful lot.
100%.
I think there are possibilities. I believe Auburn's looking at something like, it's about two dozen 24 prospects, and half of those are commitments. So... you like the way that sets up. I mean, and I have a feeling. I mean, it just feels more like the early days of Big Cat when you look at the players that are coming in and going, "Hey, the majority of our class is going to have been at Big Cat."
And our friends at the recruiting services are going to do a great job following Big Cat all weekend long. But we'll talk to Brian and Jason next week. So looking forward to finding out. More information, you can find out as it happens. But next week here on The Drive, we'll be talking to those guys about everything that went on with Big Cat Weekend, and if there's any updates to Auburn's commitment list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had Jason on Wednesday, and he said that was a possibility, you know, of someone in the Big Cat among the uncommitted players, or even the committed players to somewhere else at Big Cat Weekend, somebody flipping to Auburn and announcing it before the weekend is over.
Absolutely.
Is a possibility. So we'll see if Auburn's commitment list changes. At the moment, Riddick is Auburn's
12th
and most recent commitment. But that you know, we'll see. We'll see how long he's Auburn's most recent commitment, because that could change. Yeah. That could change at any minute.
I mean, I think Auburn, if you're an Auburn fan, I think you need to go into the weekend expecting at least two. I mean, I look at a guy
at least two commitments before the end of the
weekend. Yeah, I mean, Perry Thompson's a guy. DeAndre Carter.
I think Reese Baker. Yeah,
expecting a Perry Thompson commitment before the end of the weekend is.
I'm saying a guy who very easily could, and honestly, like, I kind of feel like we're getting to a point with his recruitment where I kind of feel like the writing's on the wall that he's going to end up being an Auburn commit at some point. Not Perry Thompson.
Yeah.
Not saying he signs with Auburn, because as you said, he goes back to Foley. And he's going to. It's going to be a.
The pressure is going
to
be
long wait.
There will be a lot of pressure on him.
To go to Alabama. If he's in Auburn this weekend instead of in Alabama, it would appear that that's a sign that his recruitment is trending towards Auburn, and maybe in a major way.
He has had some vague postings on social media hinting at
something
on the 29th.
Which is tomorrow.
Everyone was freaking out because he congratulated DeMarcus Riddick. And I think there was another
right
post
before,
he made.
So, yes, he did that. But right before the announcement, he posted, a picture on his Instagram story when he added DeMarcus Riddick with a big old smiley face next to it.
Not to try to decode too much of what the kids are doing on social media these days, Bill. Right? You'll drive yourself crazy. But isn't it? I mean, especially from, you think about it from a previous generation or two, the thought of an Alabama commitment publicly congratulating a guy for picking Auburn over Alabama on signing day, right? Like, is not,
not signing day.
No,
though.
You're right. You're not signing day.
Not signing
but
day.
But earlier
because
in the summer.
I will say.
You're right. It's major stuff. Yeah.
It's not unprecedented. I mean, you know, just. Think back a few years ago to Auburn High, and you had Reuben Foster committed to Alabama. Then he got an Auburn tattoo. Yeah. Remember, he flipped to
what
Auburn,
did he
got an Auburn tattoo.
To? How did he?
I
how did
don't
he change
know
that?
What he ever did with that.
Well, I mean, it's still an important part of his life.
Yeah,
still important.
So, I mean, yeah, that's why we said
keep it as a memento.
It would be huge news if Perry Thompson flips to Auburn, but again, as far as I know, he's going back to Foley, and I grew up in South Alabama, and I know that the pressure is going to be strong. That doesn't mean he's going to reflip or anything, but
I think it's huge to land a guy like that because you have not recruited at that level at receiver.
Right.
You also, your history at wide receiver is really not good. You have 2,000-yard receivers in your program's history. I want to say that is the fewest of all of the Power 5 programs in the country. I think I saw that stat.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is, I mean, and that's including, you've got Georgia Tech, who had 2,000-yard receivers. Since the 2000, they were running the triple option for most of that time. I mean,
Well, they also had an NFL Hall of Famer play wide receiver for them, Calvin Johnson.
I mean, I think Demaryius Thomas is going to end up being in the Hall of Fame as well. But I mean, those he'll be a fringe guy, but I think he'll get in. But the
Georgia Tech brought in a couple of receivers like that.
Yeah.
But you have this situation, and I think that this is, to an extent, is somewhat important to Perry Thompson. You go to Alabama, and you're just another
you're
guy.
You're the next, you could be one of the next guys.
And everybody, because you're coming from Foley, everybody's saying you're the next Julio Jones.
I would never blame a guy for picking a place that has a tradition of sending players at his position to the NFL.
Though. Yes.
That's one thing where it's like, you know what, if you want to follow if you want to be the next in a line of guys who go in the first round at your position in the NFL, like, that's perfectly reasonable to choose, if you're a receiver, to choose Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia because of late they've been sending guys, the LSU, because of late they've been sending guys to the first round. Now, there's also a reason to be the first. You want to be a trailblazer.
Exactly.
You want to be
the guy
who's
what Auburn's got
to
be pitching.
He can come to Auburn, and if he posts a couple thousand-yard seasons, which I know is difficult, But Hugh Freeze has a track record of having receivers.
Then you can be the guy that other players would be the next Perry Thompson.
He could leave Auburn as the record holder in everything at receiving.
He could make the impact. He can make the impact for Hugh Freeze that Julio Jones.
And absolutely right, Julio Jones.
That's the pitch.
Was one of the, if not the, man,
the crown jewel of that class.
Player that like, oh, this is huge for Alabama.
Oh, and for as someone who remembers that signing day pretty well, right? Like that was that class was a statement by Nick Saban and his coaching staff that things were changing in recruiting in the SEC.
Yeah, coming off a 7-6 season.
Coming off a 7-6 season and landing, you know, in a year where Alabama had an unusual to that point, right? The state had an unusual number of really high level prospects. Saban got all of them, right? And that's, I mean, and you're not, Hugh Freeze isn't shooting for, we're gonna land every major in-state player, even if other schools want them. But to land a player like Perry Thompson.
It'd send a heck of a message.
I think the comparison to, it would have the impact that Julio Jones, as a recruit, we'll see if Perry Thompson has Julio Jones' career as a football player. But as a recruit, it would have that sort of impact on the momentum Auburn has on the recruiting trail.
All right, we're just underway here on the Friday Drive. It's Bill and Dan Carter at the controls. Hour number one of the drive brought to you by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
Also text the show. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also do the podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. They sponsor our podcast, which is available on any third-party platform. Just search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe if you do it that way. You can also go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan with Carter at the controls. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How you doing on this lovely, heated-up Friday?
Whew, I am recovering.
Got a nice blast of, really hard rain driving over to the studio to mix in with that heat here, Tex.
Well, so tell Carter that my real name is Tex. He seems... a bit surprised when I said Tex.
I always struggle to hear what the names that are said on our phone. Our phone's not the loudest of that I've ever used.
Well, my real name's Francois, and I used to get beat up for that, so I changed.
Got you.
So anyway, hey, have you talked about the 5-star signing in the baseball program today?
No, it's what I. Carter and I were talking about that during the break.
Pivoting to baseball.
Scott Foxhall being brought back in as the director of player development. What a huge addition that is to the baseball staff.
You can read into that player pitcher development.
Yeah.
That is a good baseball man.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge for the program. A great get. I don't know what the deal was at Mississippi State and don't really care.
Well, I mean, they just struggled. I mean, that's the thing. It's after they won the title. I don't know exactly what
happened.
They had
a lot of injuries that first year.
It's hard to blame. It's hard to blame Scott.
They had really bad injuries that first year after the title. I don't know as much what the reason was this past year.
You know, Tex. It's. I mean, you would have liked, for Auburn's sake, you would have liked maybe one or two of the players that were drafted early in the Major League Baseball draft to, you know, maybe Major League Baseball could have been colder on them and they would have ended up playing college baseball. That's not going to happen. But all things considered, I think it's been a pretty good offseason for Auburn baseball as far as who they've retained from last year's team that could have started a pro career. Joseph Gonzalez is the base, the biggest
Bobby
example
Pierce.
Of that. But Bobby Pierce comes to mind as
Bobby
well.
Bobby Pierce is huge.
The player from Florida sounds like a sounds like an impact transfer.
Yeah, he seems like a guy given an opportunity could be a really key cog in the Auburn lineup.
Well, I'll give you the key to keeping some of those higher draft picks. LSU has kind of set the standard. Gordon McKernan is an attorney, liability ambulance chasing attorney here in Baton Rouge that owns about 70% of the billboards. He is the leading NIL guy for LSU. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't hide it. He said it's his job to get the best players.
Yeah, those players. I keep hearing about the players on the billboards.
Yeah, but as yes. NIL, and I'm speaking from a position of ignorance here, but my guess would be, Bill, maybe you got a better idea here. I don't think NIL stopping a first-round draft pick from leaving for the pros. Like, I'm not sure a guy in high school who's drafted in the first. Again, I could be wrong. I don't know the kind of money we're talking about.
When Vanderbilt was rolling and they were like pumping out top five like pitcher guys, they had guys coming without NIL, skipping first round draft picks and going to Vanderbilt.
I would think with this CBA though, and like I'm thinking, if you're taken in the top 40, 45 out of high school, it's tough for NIL to sway you towards playing 3 years of college baseball. But I'm ready to be absolutely wrong about that, Tex.
Check the signing class from LSU and look at a couple guys that went in the top two rounds that have decided to play at LSU. Ooh,
wow.
And there's only one reason they're coming. Well, one,
that's
two.
Not, I mean, that's serious. That's serious money.
Their facilities are and their facilities are premier. Well, there's a guy in town that's willing to pay the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's their NIL program is very strong, and they don't hide from it. They'll be happy to tell you it's their job to get the best players to LSU.
Tex, is the quality of life, you can speak to this better than just about anybody I can talk to, is the quality of life for a student athlete at an SEC school or a superpower in college baseball, is the quality of life considerably better than it would be if they were to spend those 3 years in the minors in Major League Baseball working their way up?
Dan, in 1979 to 82, it was a better life to play in the SEC than would be to be on the road and buses without air conditioning. Now, just so you know, the bus rides weren't a joy, but it was in today's world. There, the facilities, LSU Stadium, I would put it up against most double A.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Stadiums that I've ever been to, and I will tell you that I've been to a game in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Their stadium reminds me a lot of LSU. The difference is they face the water. The outfield faces the water. It is remarkable, but you just have to look at what LSU's put into a baseball program. So, and then state, if you go look at Mississippi State's park, it's remarkable in what they play in. Look.
Did I tell you the story about Mississippi State and the ball? You know the apartments they got in the in right field? At Mississippi State. So apparently, when they were finding Mike Leach permanent housing after his hiring, I think I can tell the story now. When they were finding Mike Leach, when they were trying to find him permanent housing, they gave him one of the top one of the penthouses in there, and he did not want to leave when they found him a place. He said, no, this is. And I think eventually they had to chase him out because it was spoken for during baseball season, but. That was the spot that he really wanted to stay. He wanted to keep the place in the penthouse in right field at Mississippi State's ballpark.
Yeah, and it is a penthouse there. So having seen it built, had a son that played in it a couple times during summer ball. It went with Lane Burroughs, who's now the head coach at Louisiana Tech, and a guy named Butch Thompson, who was at Mississippi State at the same time, having my son go through there in some of their camps. It's just remarkable. So we have a nice Development Center. But if you ever get a chance, if you ever go to a game in Starkville, go to the Palmero Center, where all the money was donated by Rafael Palmero.
I've been there.
The batting cages come out of the ceiling.
Yes.
Baseball players have a key fob, I think it was a card back then, that they just put up to there, and they can go 24 hours a day.
So it's half baseball field, half football field, and the football team has to ask the baseball team for permission to use it.
Even in football season, they have to ask for permission to use it. So that's quite remarkable. In LSU, I think Plainsman Park, the field, the look is great, but the additions that are coming are going to make it even look better and much cooler. It's going to be one of the premier stadiums in our league, and all you have to do is go to A&M or go to Arkansas or South Carolina or LSU or Mississippi State or Florida, and you see what a premier stadium looks like.
Everybody's wondering though, Tex, are you switching your seats to the Monster? You gonna move your seats to atop the Monster?
There aren't seats up there.
Not yet, right?
It's gonna be a walkway.
Standing room, sort of a concourse.
There's only one place I would exchange my seats for, and it would be the new seats that are being put in basically about ground level behind home plate. Because there is no place like home.
I like that.
Really, well, Carter, he's a catcher too.
Oh yeah, I'm a former catcher too. I love it.
That's why.
I've come around to your way of thinking, Tex. You got to be able to. You got to be close enough to tell if it was a ball or a strike.
Believe me, there's enough people in Plainsman Park that'll tell you whether it's a ball or a strike.
Yeah,
They're not right very often, but
they'll tell you
whether it was a ball. No,
you're right. Hey, we got to run, Tex.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
Great hearing from you, Tex. Have a good weekend. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We are way behind. Who we got?
I think we got John, maybe?
Yeah, John, hang on. You'll be up right after our bottom of the hour break here on the Friday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Batting average. Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Carter at the controls. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. John's been hanging on for a while. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
How are you doing?
Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's all right. How are y'all this afternoon?
Doing pretty good.
All right. I was just going to call in and wish y'all a happy weekend. Had the opportunity to meet Coach Williams last night in Montgomery, and he's a very humble young man, and he's a you can tell he's truly a people person. He signed autograph and took pictures for about 800 people last night.
Yeah, I heard Doug talking about that he just stayed and stayed and stayed.
And then I don't want to butcher his last name. Dan, there you go. he had a pretty good speech that he gave as well, but it was a nice event. It always is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Yeah, Carnell is definitely, I mean, he is a class act. There's no question.
What's the odds of our offensive tackle, you said, coming from California?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to feel like they're pretty good. I mean, the fact that this is,
Big
Cat is an unofficial deal. It's not official visits. So he's paying his own way to come from California back to Auburn.
So with the new Wild West and the NIL, would it be against the rules if somebody stuck $500 in his pocket when he gets on campus
for reimbursement? Yes, that would. I mean, that doesn't mean things don't like that
happen.
There's
not that much that's illegal, but you're definitely not allowed to.
They're not going to come up and announce it on TV, but
well, I sure hope not. No.
So, but yeah, I'm excited about the upcoming season. There's definitely more energy with the players and the coaching staff than the past 2 years, so I'm excited, and that's about all I got. Y'all guys have a good weekend.
You too, John. Thanks for the call. Thanks for hanging on. 334.
Now, what are
321-1390?
What are the rules about being reimbursed for unofficial visits down like later on?
There's nothing
there. Okay.
Unofficial means you're supposed to pay
on your own dime.
Right.
I wasn't sure.
The thing is, you think, well, maybe you could do something. No, I mean, NIL is still ostensibly, I mean, it's still, you still have to have some type of representation where you would be being paid for your appearance.
Now, and,
I mean, we've heard about it going to high school.
Now, okay, so you're right. So there's not a reimbursement element to an unofficial visit. No. However, a player could sign with a school and enter into an NIL deal that maybe when earns back the money.
Well, maybe. Yeah, after he is in school.
Yeah, you can make that money, not necessarily as a reimbursement, but you can make your money back and then some, you know, potentially. But yeah, no, the rules about unofficial visits have not changed with some of the other rules in college football.
334-321-1390. And who is
Terry,
the first? Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill and Dan. How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, Terry.
Great. Hey, Dan. I wonder if you got, are we witnessing the greatest baseball player of all time in our at our age? After what Ohtani did yesterday in the doubleheader,
probably the greatest that we've seen. Yeah, yeah. I don't know of anybody that saw the Babe.
I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm still a Bonds truther in a lot of ways. Bill, I know you are too. Like
far as a hitter,
yeah,
he's probably the best hitter I've ever seen.
At his absolute best,
but Ohtani,
I've never seen anything like that.
Ohtani's two players in one.
We've never seen anybody do what he's doing.
Maybe some
other players could have been able to do that. You wonder, because, I mean, there have been some guys that have come up that were drafted and different teams thought they'd be a great hitter or a great pitcher, but nobody else has had that opportunity and then done what Ohtani's doing. Yesterday was phenomenal. I mean, it's crazy. And if the Angels announce they're going all in, they're not trading him, and he goes out the next day and throws a one-hitter in game one and then hits a couple of homers in game two.
Yeah, he's a $600 million player, I heard a guy say today. He's a $300 million hitter and probably a $250 million pitcher.
Yeah.
So, no, he may be a $350 million pitcher and a $350 million hitter, but he still won't get $700 million.
Yeah, I mean, but
you're going to get a deal with him being 2-1.
But I do wonder, like,
a deal.
There's never been
five or 600.
There's never been a free agent like him before in the history of baseball.
No,
and not even close.
So to think about what you do with an Ohtani type of player, do you price it like that? Do you think about what would he be if he were just a pitcher? This is what he would be worth. What would he be if he were just a hitter? This is what he'd be worth. Combine the two, and that's what he's worth.
That's what he's worth. But like I said, he's not going to – I think he will take – he will have to settle for a little less than what those two combined numbers are.
How much does he limit the market for him, because he does want to stay on the West Coast so badly?
You know, not as much as if the – designated hitter had not come to the National League.
Oh, yeah.
I think adding the DH puts the Dodgers and the Giants in play in a way that they weren't in play the first time. Ohtani was afraid of the Padres for that matter, too.
Are the Mariners involved for him?
Yes.
Yes.
I was about to say.
The loud we want Ohtani, or the loud come to Seattle chants during the All-Star game in Seattle this year when Ohtani was at bat. The fact that he talks about spending off seasons in Seattle, they famously outbid the Yankees for Robinson Cano and surprised a lot of people about a decade ago when the Yankees were considered the favorites to retain their second baseman. The Mariners came in with the biggest offer and the Yankees didn't want to match it. So, I mean, there's a history of Seattle pulling off something like that. But, no, I cannot wait to see. I mean, I'm still, you know, if I had to pick a team, I'm still saying it's the Dodgers. But like,
yes,
I don't. I can't wait to see what happens with
the. How long can he sustain this?
That's a good question.
Because all those really huge contracts.
Would you sign into a 10-year deal?
The last I think you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last like 3-4 years of these enormous deals, they always age poorly at that point.
Well, you feel like, I don't know, the way salaries and things are going, if you get 6 or 7 years of him doing both, and he can do either the last 3 years, you're probably still getting a pretty good deal.
I just hate to see him in Dodger blue, but I can deal with that more than I can in Yankee pinstripes.
Oh, I think it's much more likely. Yeah, it's much less likely that he's going to be in pinstripes.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a great weekend.
You too, Terry.
The discussion we were having yesterday, and I do believe that if they're probably not going to do it because of what it would mean to their fans, what fans they have, but if Ohtani leaves in free agency, I just wonder if you're the Angels, if you look at Mike Trout and you think, do we trade him for the biggest package possible and look towards the distant future? Like, do you let Ohtani leave? Like, do you start a hard reset because of the asset Trout is and what he would mean to a franchise that just missed out on Ohtani, right? Mm-hmm. You think about, like, if Ohtani goes and signs somewhere, a couple of runners up would look at trading for Mike Trout as a huge consolation prize.
Now, he's a guy you'd go ahead and take a farm system from. You know, he's a guy that's more likely to wind up in pinstripes.
That's what, do you consider, because I think
talked about growing up being a Yankee fan,
as tough as it would
there in the Northeast.
He's also a Philly kid too.
As difficult as it would be, and Philly would have some assets that they'd want
to. Would.
But that's, I mean, to me, that's the tempting thing. If you lose out on Ohtani in free agency, because they've decided to keep him, they're going to go for it, see what happens. If he loses out on him in free agency, rather than try to decorate around Mike Trout for the rest of his contract and probably not win, why not trade Mike Trout for the biggest package possible to somebody who gives him a better chance to win in the short term and also restocks?
Stacks your farm system.
Restocks you in a way that you can actually build something sustainable mm-hmm. down the line without Ohtani or Trout. And maybe it takes time, right? Maybe it takes a couple of years, but it's... I wonder if that option is on the table once Ohtani, if Ohtani mm-hmm. leaves, because Mike Trout would be such a gigantic trade option, you know, asset for someone if they wanted to make a deal.
Need to get to our final break of hour number one. Brett, hold on. You're up when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
On The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one. Let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline and Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Dan, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of picturing Ohtani with a nice little crib in Malibu wearing that Dodger blue.
Oh, Dan has been picturing that for a long time. I mean, he was hoping he was coming over here at the trade deadline.
Although Brett, the thing I just tossed out there in the last segment, if the Dodgers were to miss out on Shohei Ohtani, if someone else were to outbid them, and he were to leave the Angels, the Dodgers are also a team in a pretty good position to offer an eye-watering package for Mike Trout, if that's where the Angels wanted to go.
Yeah, I think I feel pretty good about them getting one of the two. How about that?
I think so too. That's what I think so.
Yeah. Well, hey, yesterday when I was on Permahold, I was going to talk about you had said something about Auburn getting Riddick, and you didn't, you know, some people didn't know if NIL played no part, a little part, or a big part. I'm going to go with big part, and I don't believe we got him with the Milo's tea deal.
Well, you know, it's not fair to assume it was NIL whenever you miss out on a guy. And then just say, well, when he signs with Auburn, it's because he factored in all the... Like, I agree.
It's because he loved Auburn.
I think Auburn, it sounds like, since Hugh Freeze arrived, Auburn has become more competitive in the NIL space. I don't know if that's excitement around the Freeze hire or...
Alignment, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the word that keeps coming up.
Well, you know, Dan, the term a lot, all that can mean different things to different people. But, you know, seeing that Auburn wasn't going against Georgia Tech and Syracuse, they were going against Alabama and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot in this deal. There was a lot. And I'm proud of it. And I actually wish I could have helped contribute, but I couldn't.
Well, I don't think they're tapped out yet.
Yeah, well... My budget might help with the smoothies, but it's not going to get Riddick or anybody like that. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Brett. And we're just about out of time here in hour number one. No, I mean, I agree. Auburn is, you have to be competitive with the big guys. And they are. And we will see. We talked a little about Big Cat. We'll talk more about that. Whatever you'd like us, whatever direction you'd like us to go in hour number two, which is coming up here on the Friday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday. It is hour number two. Bill and Dan, we've got Carter at the controls. Drew is he's visiting family down in Florida. They got a birthday or something going on down there. So he should be back on Monday. We're here with you for another hour here today, wrapping up the week. Looking forward to Big Cat tomorrow and seeing if there will be big news for Big Cat. We'll talk about that some here in hour number two. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise and pretty much otherwise. I mean, we started off, got into all kinds
Halloween,
of craziness.
Halloween there. Decorations.
Halloween
up
decorations.
In the stores.
Yeah, that's crazy. But that's the way it is.
No, you know, we were talking during the commercial break about something that I saw on social media. You'd already heard about. Somebody we know well.
Yes,
taking over a local establishment.
A former regular caller, but he's sort of busy. He's got quite a few things going.
Yeah. So it's one of his places, a regular
sponsor for Tiger Talk, which will make its debut on Wings 94.3 here coming up in just a short period of time.
That's right. We're going to have the Auburn Sports Network right here on the Auburn Network. Wings 94.3, your new home for Tiger Talk for Auburn University football and Auburn University men's basketball.
Right.
AU 100, where you can hear Auburn baseball and Auburn University women's basketball.
That is correct.
Starting this season. Going to spend a couple of seasons at least here on the Auburn Network. Really looking forward to that. But no, we were just talking the news that Kevin Todd Hope will take over the ownership of Byron's here in town.
Yeah, Todd going to keep things going the way they have been there at Byron's. Glenn's been, working himself like crazy over there for quite a while. And it's great. I mean, it's good for Glenn and his wife getting to retire. And it's also cool that, Todd, who's an Auburn guy, grew up here and has done extremely well for himself. He's got Baumhauer's. He's got the UPS store.
Couple aliases as a caller.
You told me. That was back in the day where we would hear from him, and we had a couple of regular callers that now are a little busy to be those regular callers.
Yeah, some of them run cities, right? Like
they've got prominent businesses. Some of them, yeah. That just goes to show you what listening to the show can do.
That's right. Information for life is the key.
Oh, yeah.
But no, so salute to 34 years for the Gulledges and their work at Byron's and many more with Kevin Tuttle. That I found out the news because Chad Pruitt shared it on social media, and it's been cool to see. It's been cool to see like the outpouring of whether it was the announcement from Kevin about the ownership change or the you know, even Chad Pruitt's little message. Like a lot of Auburn University athletes and coaches and you know people in the community pointing out this is a favorite. Best of luck to all people involved.
All right. Again, we're getting underway here in hour number two of the drive.
Getting hungry. Some barbecue talk there.
I told you.
I'm hungry now, too.
The only food I've had, well, no, I grabbed a little something on the way in. I mean, I hadn't had much as I was trying to stay hydrated and avoiding cramps and stuff in the heat today.
Is it pizza night?
I think so. Nice. It usually is. Friday night usually is. Hour number two of the drive. Brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join in here on the drive by calling us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe. It matters to the algorithms and what have you. Or go to ESPNAU.com and just use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. A lot of folks tracking the recruits and who's coming this weekend for Big Cat, who might be coming this weekend. I know we got we got folks following the Perry Thompson's private jet and figuring out where he's going to land and where he could be this weekend. Receiver out of Foley, that's one of many high-profile high schoolers who may make the trip up to Auburn this weekend for Big Cat Weekend, the first one for Auburn coach Hugh Freeze since he got the job.
Yeah, and Cardi, you were saying Perry Thompson has been spotted here in
Cole
in Auburn.
Pinkston saying on three that he is on campus.
This is like
so is Zaquan Patterson as well, the five-star DB.
It's like storm coverage.
Yeah, well, we get into. I mean, the thing is, the way it used to be during big recruiting weekends. I mean, there would be the who's in town. Auburn hasn't had those in a while. Back when the signing day was in February and you'd have huge recruiting weekends in January. No, DeAndre Carter's already here. I saw that earlier today.
We should send Jacob.
So the big offensive lineman out of Santa Ana, California.
We should send Jacob to the football complex or something and let him like just tell us. Like, you know, he should be calling in with updates. Yeah,
wearing like a full rain suit.
A wire. We can fit him with a wire. Let him walk around. No, it's it's an exciting weekend for this coaching staff as they try to. I mean, look, this is I started the show, Bill, asking sort of like. To folks who don't follow it all that closely, like how big of a deal would Perry Thompson be? Here's a question. Like, how much of the reason Hugh Freeze is here is his ability to pull off weekends like this and make an impact recruiting? And he does well in the portal, but landing big-time high school players. Like, that's a major reason he got the job.
Qualification or a must-have for a college coach is to be able to recruit those kinds of guys. I mean, that's something Brian Harsin felt he'd coach him up. But, I mean, we were talking about it a good bit this week, and Jason Caldwell was on Wednesday saying, you know, you've got to get those players. You've got to get the great players. Nick Saban is considered the greatest coach of all time, yet because he's won 7 national championships. How many recruiting national championships has he won?
That's a great question.
More than 7, yeah. I would think. But, I mean, he is not. Has Let's Alabama see. Finished outside the top 5 in recruiting?
I can't imagine.
In the last 15 years?
Yeah. No way.
I mean, since maybe the first year.
I mean,
year
do that year after year after year. You're going to miss on some.
They are currently on 247.
They're number 1 right now, I believe.
No, they're not. Oh. Georgia is.
Oh, that's
they're
right.
Number 5.
Alabama, though, has the highest average rating per player.
Alabama, the reason why there's a
Alabama
difference
doesn't
there
have
is
near
Alabama
as many
has 15 commits to Georgia's 25. They had 26, and then DeMarcus Riddick.
Right.
I'm trying to think who else since 08 has had a year where they were ranked number one. A&M had the year.
Georgia has. A&M has.
Because A&M
Ohio State, I believe, has
the greatest class of all time. And then Alabama beat it the next year.
I would think, I mean, there's maybe a chance LSU. Maybe. But I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not since 08.
You're probably talking about, yeah, maybe three or four years where Alabama wasn't ranked number one, if we're guessing. Maybe
Alabama's been one, two, or three, I would think.
And that's not
just about every year.
And that's, I mean, it's such a, when you're playing in the SEC, but especially with, at least at the moment, Bama, Georgia, and LSU on the schedule every year, it makes it all the more important that you're landing your share in the, you know, on the recruiting trail. And this is a, yeah, Hugh Freeze had the reputation of someone. And I mean, what do you make of the thinking, Bill? Like, oh, well, if he's got these kind of resources available at Ole Miss, imagine what he'll do with Auburn resources.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly, like, that's right. And
I think y'all would be shocked about where they finished in 2018. They were number five.
Oh.
Behind
Did they finish out of the top five, though?
But yeah. Still, like,
he's lucky,
like,
he kept his job.
They only, how many did they sign that year? Isn't that a year they
signed 22.
Okay.
USC and Clay Helton signing only 18 came in ahead of them. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Now we're all but two of those players off the team 2 years later.
Yeah, that's the unbelievable thing about Auburn's 21 class. It still is crazy.
Truly, yeah. I mean, and what with the, we were talking about a little bit on the Observer podcast too yesterday after talking about it with Justin. I mean, the 21 class having just the one player that was signed by interim coach Kevin Steele, Garner Langlow,
right,
and then Jarquez Hunter,
who was a late addition,
didn't by Brian
sign
Hudson.
On the on signing day. I believe it was the day after.
I mean, that's just it's
and
incredible.
Then Dylan Brooks came a few days later.
Yeah, I mean, I think things like that will become more commonplace in college football, but not to the extent where an entire high school class has evaporated in under 3 years. Like, it's, I mean, it really is a shocking thing. And you know what, Bill? It's not like those guys, and I'm not necessarily blaming them for it, but it's not like there was a ton of production from those players in the 2 years before they left.
Either, no, right? No, I mean, you're right. I mean, golly, I don't know.
How many starts?
Not much at all.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, it really is. Like, it's a, and maybe they will go on to produce at their new schools, and maybe, you know, it'll work out for them in college football. But yeah, it's just a, yeah, you know, it's astonishing. You know, now that you can look back on it as something that's over.
334-321-1390. What are you going through year by year and looking?
I am. From 2010 to now, there are 4 years where Alabama did not finish first. 2011 to 2017.
That's 14
every year in a row.
Seasons. So 10 times.
Every year in a row from 11 to 17.
Okay. Yeah.
In 2010, Florida was the number one class. Alabama was number four. Ooh. 2018, Alabama was number five. 2020, number two. 2022, number two. And every other year in between that, they were number one.
So out of 14 years, 10 firsts, 2 seconds, a fourth, and a fifth, right? That's pretty good. You recruit like that.
I have to go to Rivals for 2009 because 247 doesn't have a complete one.
I guess the question then becomes, like, does that become more difficult if Auburn is getting its share of players in the state?
It becomes more difficult.
I don't think they're going to
fall off the map.
A&M and Texas and Georgia.
But even like last year or 2 years ago, I don't know how many in-state kids Alabama's signing anymore. Right?
You're
like,
right.
Like that was
right.
That was a thing
what they've been doing is taking their pick of a few.
Early on in the Saban regime, it was remarkable how they were winning recruiting national championships. And so much of the class was from the state of Alabama.
Well, they
right?
would take everyone they wanted in state and then pick a top guy from Mississippi, right. Louisiana. Remember Landon Collins' mom?
Sure. I mean, it's now it's like the whole country.
Oh, yeah.
Is that state.
And not just the continental U.S.
Nope.
According to Rivals, Alabama had the top class in 08 and 09 as well.
Yeah.
So
there you go. It was 9 years in a row. From 08 to 17, they were number one.
Well, with the exception of 10, 10 okay. was Florida. But
2003,
just 4 years where they were not number one, and two of those they were number two.
And the 2008 class
never outside is, the top five.
That, you know, that's the first.
Yeah, that's the first one headlined by Julio.
So much of that class is headlined, but it's all, I don't want to say all. It's so heavily in state. It's so many players from the state of Alabama, and to build a, I mean, it's, you know, you would think you would need more. You would need more presence from other regions or other, you know, Texas and Georgia and stuff like that to get a recruiting national. No, you could build it around the best players in this state. And, you know, now they've evolved to, you know, they're picking and choosing nationally, right? Yeah, California and Hawaii are you know, just as much in the region.
The 08 class.
In-state guys in that 08 class. Julio, Marcel Darius, Mark Barron. Are the three that jump out to me. Robert Lester from Foley as well.
Was high
Barrett
talent.
Jones. Destin Hood. Terrence Cody was a junior college guy that year. Yeah, that's...
That's also the class that they brought in Mark Ingram, but he was a Florida kid. Or no, he's a Michigan kid, sorry.
Yeah, his dad played.
Did you say Dante Hightower? Was he in there?
Was he before that? Was he already on campus?
Yeah, he was not in that class.
He might not have been in 08. Okay.
I think he may have been 07. They signed 32.
Courtney Upshaw. Robert Lester was a teammate of Julio's at Foley. I'm looking at Alabama kids. Burton Scott was a big, high profile signee. But Alabama pretty much just cleaned the state. In 08. All right, we need to get to our first break here of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive continues. Continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan in the studio. Carter at the controls, doing a great job. Drew is off today. He'll be back on Monday. Next week, fall practice getting started for Auburn. A couple places. I know the places with week zero dates. Vanderbilt got started either at the end of last week or they've been going through early this week. But Vanderbilt's got the Hawaii game. In week zero, yeah. So they got to start a little bit earlier. I know
they have the double bye because of that, and that'll come in handy in the back half of the schedule where they get an extra week off.
I would play a week zero game against a like if you gave. I'm trying to think of where you'd mess with Auburn's schedule in that regard. Would you take Cal in week zero for a bye week? In like week two, bye week doesn't really, you know what I mean? Like it's two games and then a bye week.
Shout out that one year that I think with Texas Tech, Tubbs had a week one bye week and they played 12 games in a row after that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder where
just the worst idea ever.
I mean, if you were moving a game like that, it would almost want to be a conference game, which I mean, the thought of playing an SEC game in week zero is crazy, but like that would be the most advantageous move to the schedule would be
the closest thing. Where it could have been helpful would have been like last year moving Penn State to week zero. But like especially with this new staff coming in and you're trying to teach all these new transfers, especially these guys who just came in May and potentially your starting quarterback just came in May, this may not be the best year for week zero game.
For TV reasons though, man, if I were TV, I mean, I guess the thought is that
any week zero games kind of stink this year.
Well, I think the thinking is that because it's football, you don't need to waste a good game on week zero because people will be so happy that football's back that it doesn't really matter. I mean, I suppose there's something there. I mean, even the Thursday night games in the first week, you got Florida, Utah, which is a good one. I think other than that, it's pretty.
I really think that the Thursday night games are sneaky better than week one. Week one is very sleepy this year. Your best week zero game, your best week zero games are.
Oh, the week zero games aren't great at all.
I mean it's week zero. Navy against Notre Dame in Ireland.
It's Vandy Hawaii, right?
Well, Vanderbilt's going to win that game by 50 like they did last year.
Well, you know what? You got to watch out for – and then Vandy's back.
I mean, San Jose State, USC, maybe. Maybe that could be the best one.
Terrible football games.
Yeah. I mean, those are awful. But when I look at Thursday, I mean, Nebraska, Minnesota could be interesting. Florida, Utah. And then you've got NC State,
UConn. So wait, you're saying there's not good football on the first Saturday of the season?
I think it's a sleepier week one Saturday than we've seen in a little bit.
I think West Virginia, Penn State. Oh, UNC. Oh, look, Carolina versus Carolina is going to be a great game.
Yes, well, that's game day. That's game day.
You got Carolina,
yeah.
Carolina. You got UCLA versus Coastal at night. You're not going to want to miss that one.
Sneaky one in
Ohio State's playing a conference game, but they're like a 35-point favorite, right? It's Ohio State, Indiana.
Ohio State at Indiana. Yeah,
and they're going to be a monster favorite, even though a road. But that's Ohio State playing a road conference game week.
The Chris Peterson Bowl, Boise State at Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's not as exciting of a week one as we've seen.
Florida State LSU is the game of the week.
But that's the Sunday game. Yeah. And then you've got
Clemson Duke.
Duke's gonna win that game, by the way.
I don't know if they're gonna win. I do like Klubnik. I think it'll be close in that game.
You're having to go on the road. I mean, I think in that game, Riley Leonard's gonna be the better quarterback. By the end of the year, Klubnik will be better. But in week one, I think Riley Leonard will be the better quarterback.
We had a caller mention the Opelika kid who's doing big things for Duke. Stinson. Jalen Stinson is a former Opelika player who had a game-winning tackle last season for Duke, won a couple of ACC awards, and is looking like he's going to be a big part of their defense.
Brother as well that was an Auburn man, right?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
I'm trying to find
out. The Auburn game, I don't know. Like it'd be, I don't even know where you would move like Auburn's schedule in 23. Like it'd be, yeah, find some game in the middle of the season and be like, yeah, here, the play Mississippi State in week zero.
Terrell Stinson is at Ole Miss.
Is that right? Okay.
There you go.
It's Jalen at Duke.
At Duke,
I believe,
yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, that'll be a good game too. I mean, that's again. So I guess I was wrong before. Like, it's the SEC's the outlier for not playing conference football in week one compared to some of these other leagues. You got Ohio State, Indiana, and you got an ACC conference game. A couple of them, Louisville, Georgia Tech, right?
You want a sneaky week one game? That's, I guess. No, it's not a conference game. I guess South Al at Tulane. That's a good one.
No, Tulane. Yeah, Tulane's quality.
And then Tulane turns around the next week and hosts Ole Miss.
Yeah, Kane Womack he's talking like he's got some, he was at media days. He sounds confident as he should be. So South Al's had some, they've made progress for him. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they played Tulane pretty close in week one. That's a team that can bite you if you're not prepared. I mean, it's not. I don't think they are. I think compared to some of the other teams in the Sun Belt, like I think folks are a little bit cooler in South Alabama this year. But I think wouldn't be surprised at all. They play Tulane close.
Yeah, I looking at the slate. I don't know why P5 teams keep signing up to go to Wyoming, Texas Tech's going there because Missouri and Ole Miss and all these teams have gone to Laramie and taken losses in week ones in the past. I just don't want to sign up for that game ever.
No. I'm not playing what are you doing? I guess money's money, but like, what are you doing as a Power Five school playing a road game in the Group of Five anyway?
Alabama's going to South Florida because I think Saban wants to play a game in the state of Florida.
Yeah,
this year.
Well, and that's an NFL stadium. I mean, that's to me is a little bit different. And it's if you're recruiting that area. And you want to play a game in the state of Florida, like that's one thing. But no, I just think I don't know. I guess the Auburn equivalent of that would be playing like at Georgia State at a conference road game to give Atlanta area people a better chance to school or something. I don't know, but it's a I just think that's one that doesn't. I really need to be sold on the rewards of playing a game like that, especially if you're foregoing a home game to do it, right? Like, if you have the option of playing at home and you're choosing instead.
Mississippi State went and played a game at La Tech. Ole Miss has played some games at Memphis recently.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of games that are interesting that I don't love.
Yeah, just for an SEC team to be playing, some of those odd choosing and the odd scheduling. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Let's get to Mitch, who's hanging on. What's up, Mitch?
Hey guys, Dan, I know you just had a recent birthday and everything. Have you reached the 4-0 plateau yet?
No comment. No, I'm 33 for the foreseeable future, Mitch. That's what we're doing. I turned 33 again this week.
Okay. Well, you know, the other day, you know, you're the big movie guy. You see a little UCLA.
Yeah, you should see. Hey, you should see Oppenheimer, Mitch. You'll like it. You should see. Okay. See it while you can in a theater. Like, go see Oppenheimer in a movie theater. But you'll like it a lot.
Okay. Well, you were talking about Jaws 2 the other day.
Yeah.
And being filmed in Navarre and I guess some of the cast or the, you know, people staying in a hotel maybe on Okaloosa Island.
Yeah. Do you know any of the story, Mitch? That the Jaws 2. They used. They maybe filmed some of it. This is back in the early 80s. But they filmed some of Jaws 2 up at the Martha's Vineyard, but they were extremely unwelcome, because I guess the filming had been so disruptive the first time. And so when they needed to reshoot or they needed to do more shooting, they decided on the Florida Panhandle between Pensacola and I don't know if it was, maybe they used a hotel on Okaloosa Island. I want to say a lot of it was Navarre and Navarre Beach because it was so... It was so quiet back then.
Right. Because I had relatives that lived down there, and he told me to buy some property down there. You know, 20+ years ago. God, I wish I had. But you were talking about, because there was a, when I was in the reserves in Montgomery, we stayed at the Lee Side Inn, which used to be on Okaloosa Island. And it got destroyed by a hurricane.
I believe Opal in 95, I believe, took that one down with a lot of the other stuff on Okaloosa Island. I think could have the wrong hurricane, but I want to say that was one of the. I want to say that was Opal in 90. I think it was summer 95, where Opal washed. Maybe it was 96, where Opal hit a lot of the area between Destin and Fort Walton Beach.
Okay, because I was just curious if maybe that was the hotel. Some of the
Maxwell still has, Maxwell still has that rural area or the
recreation area.
Yeah, the recreational area right by the toll booths and the Midbay Bridge in Niceville.
I go by it a couple, three times a week.
Yeah, they still have those. So Carter, back in the day, when they first established like Maxwell Air Force Base or early in the establishment of Maxwell Air Force Base. They bought some property near the Midbay Bridge in Florida, and they have little 1- and 2-bedroom units that people stationed at Maxwell can rent for the weekend and go down to Florida and do rest and relaxation stuff. And still have them there to this day. There's a little. I don't know, the access roads to the Midbay Bridge have changed since the last time I crossed the bridge, Mitch. But the I believe
they're still there. They're still there, and there's an RV park on the other side of the bridge from those little bungalows that you were talking about. And you know, since you brought up the military and everything, and just I'm a history buff, but today was, I guess, the official start of World War I 109 years ago.
Oh, wow. How about that? Yeah, we were just about to get to that, Mitch. We were just about to get to the 109th anniversary of World War I. That was next on my list of topics. Today, no, it's no. I lived in Raintree for a little while during my childhood, which is a neighborhood right there, pretty close to the Midbay Bridge toll booth. I know they've it used to be residential roads, but now there's like a highway that spits you out right by the bridge. But yeah, I was right there in part of those the Blue Water neighborhoods right around the toll booth.
Yep, know it very well. I've got a hurricane grilling wings or wings and grill.
Well, Mitch, I said this on the air already. I met Chad Baker Mazzara, a former Northwest Florida State player, now at Auburn men's basketball, and we bonded over our mutual love of Danny's Fried Chicken. You know, he talked about how much he loves Danny's Fried Chicken too. That little, you know, right outside. And he was there was another player around as we were talking, and he was saying, man. Gotta take you down there just to try some of Danny. So we got another convert here in Auburn who knows about that stuff down in Niceville.
Outstanding, guys. Well, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thought you'd like that, Mitch. I appreciate it. Yeah, Danny's Fried Chicken. Right. It's a little fast food chicken restaurant in Niceville near the junior college, near the high school that we would go to a lot. And it's popular with the students there at Northwest Florida State and Niceville High School, including new Auburn men's basketball player Chad Baker Mazar. Great stuff, Mitch. Appreciate the phone call. You want to? I'll tell you what. We'll take a break and get back on time. Who we got hanging on?
I'll have to check again.
Okay.
I think it's Joe. I think it's Joe.
Okay. Carter might be making a name up. We have a caller on the line. We'll be back with more. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon.
One for the commercial break segments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Lost drive segments.
Got about 20 minutes left here on the Friday drive. Bill, Dan, and Carter here in the studio. And Jerry up first?
It is Joe.
Joe is first.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
My question is primarily for Bill.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Bill, do you remember when Auburn used to play Georgia Tech in Atlanta?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I knew you would. Well, do you recall that before the game, the Georgia Tech students would drive onto the field in an old jalopy?
In the Ramblin' Wreck, right.
The Ramblin' Wreck, right. Well, anyway, I think you might know where I'm going with this. There was a make of car named the Auburn, which was produced for about 20 years up in Indiana.
Huh. I do not. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was called the Auburn, and they went out of business, I believe, with the Depression or something in the mid-30s.
Oh, well, that's why I don't remember that then.
Well, there you go.
And I'm old, but not that old.
Not quite that old, I understand.
I remember the Georgia Tech Rec Tech pajama parades. That was one of the highlights of the fall.
Oh, I do too. But anyway, my question was, somebody could buy one of these Auburns.
Huh.
The name of the car is the Auburn, and donate it to Auburn, and have the cheerleaders or whatever ride around it. I think that'd be a great idea for somebody who had the money.
Yeah, the Auburn automobile was produced from 1900 to 1937, most known for the Auburn Speedster. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I think Georgia Tech should bring back is the wreck gone forever? Do they not bring back the old...
They're a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer.
Is the car gone? Do they not do that anymore?
I don't know.
That sounds pretty cool.
It was.
I don't either. Anyway, I just thought I'd run that about over you, and maybe there's a millionaire out there who would like to...
I want to see some of the images of the Auburn. That's a cool looking roadster.
Go to the internet, and it had the rumble seat and all the stuff.
I like the orange one there.
There you go. That looks awesome, actually.
Hey, appreciate the call, Joe.
Okay, you guys have a great evening.
So does the Auburn, because I know it was based out of Auburn, Indiana, does the Auburn Automobile Company have any connection to the university or the
city? I don't know, there's an Auburn in Michigan, too.
Because that's what I would wonder is that if it's, I'm looking up more about the Auburn.
I'm looking at a 1935 Auburn 851 Speedster. That's a cool looking car.
Founded in Auburn, Indiana in 1874.
There you go.
Eckhart brothers.
Yeah. The Auburn supercharged speedster, according to a story that I'm looking at, says possibly the most beautiful American car ever made.
Not too much about this. I mean, is it just the Auburn connection just coincidence that it's
probably
like from Auburn University to
probably? But I mean, yeah, that's something cool, something to be cool to take advantage of. I really like that one. That's pretty sharp. Appreciate the call, Joe. 334-321-1390. And Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'd like to see the Georgia Tech Auburn series
revived.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few people, you know, say that. I mean, that was a long, long time rivalry between, you know, a couple of engineering schools.
Yeah, I'm not sure Georgia Tech's dying to put another SEC
probably
team on
not.
Their schedule because they play yeah, Georgia right. every year. Like, I think that's part of the issue is that with a, you know, especially with Georgia Tech playing a full ACC schedule and Georgia, I don't know how many other, I guess they've played Ole Miss recently enough to play Ole Miss last year, I think.
Last year and this year.
Yeah, so I mean, so they do have
Georgia. So they play, what, 10 Power 5 games right now this year?
Yeah, Georgia and a full ACC schedule. So, I mean, that's, yeah. You know, so maybe I wouldn't rule it out, you know, Auburn and Georgia Tech being back on the schedule. It would make for a pretty tough schedule for Georgia Tech, but they've played some other tough teams in addition to the teams they play every year in the past.
I saw where Malcolm Simmons from Ellic City committed.
Oh, he did? Well,
I don't think he has yet.
I think he's sort
campus.
Of expected
he's
to.
He's a commit watch kind of guy.
I think he's been crystal balled by a couple of people, you know, have put in their pick for him to commit to Auburn. That's the only thing I've seen.
I see anything for him officially committing right now as I check.
But, yeah, I think what you may have seen is the folks that cover Auburn or folks that cover recruiting feel very good about that possibility of him committing.
Well, good. And I'm really pulling for Perry Thompson to commit, too.
Oh, you know, Auburn fans are really going to be, you know, trying to keep an eye on that and waiting, hopefully, an alert over the weekend about that.
Yeah, sounds good. Hope for the best.
All right, appreciate the call, Jerry. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, Simmons was at, I don't know if he was at Media Days this week. We had Justin Ferguson talking about the high school Media Days. They've been going on earlier. I know the Benjamin Russell coach talked about how Simmons had played more. I guess he'd been all over the field first couple of years, and he's going to focus mainly on just being a receiver this year in sort of preparation for doing a lot of work at wide receiver. Wherever Malcolm Simmons goes, expected to play a lot as a wide receiver mm-hmm. pretty early on.
And oh, so yeah.
I guess this year he's going to practice for that. By playing almost exclusively at wide receiver.
I've heard he's a phenomenal athlete, one of the best athletes in the state of Alabama now in high school football.
Now, he's not as big. I mean, he's mm-hmm. he's what, 6 foot, 6'1", 170, something like that, I believe.
Yeah, I think I just had his profile up. I'll see if I can get you an exact measurement.
He is an outstanding athlete. There's no question about it.
247 pace. He's 6 foot, 165. That's
okay,
light.
That's what I said. He's not the biggest guy.
He's 170 on three. Because, yeah. You know, everybody has a different weight for each mm-hmm. recruit.
Yeah, but he played some. He played quite a bit of running back in addition to his time at wide receiver the last couple of years, and now I guess moving just to wide receiver. And
I wonder,
someone who it's. I mean, maybe not overwhelming physically, but really impressive with the ball.
I wonder if you see a Bryce Kane kind of potential spike in the recruiting rankings because he is focusing on receiver. If he really nails that down,
yeah, he's a four star right now.
Because yes, and because Bryce Kane was. He played 1 year of football, really, as a receiver last year, and then really impressed on the camp circuit, went from a three-star to a four-star, and I think still has room to continue to climb these rankings. I think that those would be two interesting names to keep an eye on for potential climbers in this class, potentially both coming to Auburn.
Tell you what, we'll get to our final break, and then let's run down the expected players at Big Cat this weekend. We've talked about a few here and there. We'll try to spend a little time talking about the players who will be in and who you might, you know, keep a watch on and see if there's any news from them this weekend. We'll get to our final break. Still time for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
Now, more of the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Carter Bird at the controls. So, all right, it's Big Cat. I know everybody still calls it Big Cat Weekend, but tomorrow is Big Cat. So what's on the plan for you, Dan, for this weekend?
Well, I haven't been invited to any of the Big Cat festivities, so they're not recruiting me as heavily as some of these other guys, it sounds like. So I'm
they're looking for size up front.
Yeah, not this kind of size, I don't think. So they're I'm gonna be paying attention to what's going on, but you know, got the other stuff. We'll try to get an Observer podcast up. Maybe if there's breaking news, you know, I'll be working with Justin and the gang to get something recorded. Especially if we were just talking about this during the commercial break, right? The possibilities up that. That Auburn could have some new. I mean, we'll see if Auburn adds to the list of commitments before the end of the weekend. It sounds like there could be a player or two. I mean, tough to put a number on it, but could be a new commitment or two before the end of Big Cat weekend.
I'd be a little surprised that there's not a change in Auburn's commit list by Monday.
Yeah. 100%.
I'd be surprised.
Now, you haven't seen Barbie or Oppenheimer yet, right?
No, I haven't.
I think you got to see one of the two, like this weekend. I'd say see Oppenheimer. Find the time.
That's the one that would.
Bill, you don't strike me as a Barbie.
Although Gosling,
I'll watch it.
Gosling's great in it. It's real. I mean, it's a strange little movie.
I had three
funny
sisters. I saw enough of Barbie for years.
Yeah, I mean, did you see either of did you see Lady Bird or Lady Bird's pretty good too. That's the same director as Barbie. It's a movie about growing up in high school in Sacramento, and then the Little Women remake, the most recent one.
Did not see that.
Missed that one too. That one's still on the DVR list.
Somebody's. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are her previous films before making this Barbie movie. So I would say, you know, maybe test that out. But no, you should see Oppenheimer in the big screen.
We're planning on doing that. We were thinking about doing it last week.
Downey Jr. is sensational in Oppenheimer. He's, you know, I feel like that's a guy who maybe people have forgotten how great Robert Downey Jr. can be because he's been doing
Iron Man.
Yeah, he's been doing kind of disposable CGI like Avengers stuff for the last decade.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty much it.
He's one of the best. Like he's one of the and he taps into that in Oppenheimer in a really big way.
Okay, we will definitely check it out. All right, let's take a quick rundown of the players expected in. Some are already on campus, others should be in by, you know, either tonight or in the morning. We have talked about Perry Thompson quite a bit, five-star receiver out of Foley, who's an Alabama commit. DeMarcus Riddick, of the five stars, according to 24/7, DeMarcus Riddick, Perry Thompson, and K.J. Bolden, mm-hmm. who you were just talking about during the break, Carter, out of Buford, Georgia, that I see most people projecting to stay home in the state of Georgia with the Bulldogs. And he's going to make an announcement, what, I guess a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, he's announcing on the 5th. He and Julius Solomon, a couple DBs, will be announcing then. Those are huge ones because
and both of those guys are expected to be at Big Cat.
Yes, as of right now, I believe mm-hmm. that is the case. Julius Solomon, obviously is the brother of Zacchaeus Walker. So you do have that legacy kind of yep. connection there, which something Jacob and I talked about this week with Christian Clemente was there seems to be a really large amount of legacy connections to this 25 class. So, I mean, Zayden Walker is a five-star in the 25 class.
Another brother of Zeke.
If you can kind of further strengthen that bond there between Auburn and that family, mm-hmm. I think that would be a huge benefit as well. K.J. Bolden, if you land him over Ohio State, FSU, Georgia, Alabama, all those schools, that's really, to me, throwing down the gauntlet saying, hey, it's fair game for anybody here at Auburn. We can go land.
Yeah, that's
we can go toe-to-toe
step.
With anybody.
The next step is to get a kid like from the state of Georgia that Georgia and everybody wants. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've gotten one from Alabama that Georgia had. You've gotten one that was, you know, committed to you've gotten one that had been committed to Georgia. Now you feel like you're in good shape on Perry Thompson, who's been committed to Alabama from Alabama. Yeah, that's the next step, is to get somebody from from a state outside of Alabama that home state school really wants.
I do wonder with Zacchaeus, like if the fact that he's still sort of waiting to become a contributor harms Auburn with recruiting his younger brother, because he's been someone who's been on the roster but hasn't. I know he.
I don't know that it helps.
Had the opportunity to leave, you know, went to, right. Flirted with the transfer portal, came back. But I wonder if that's something where you'd love to see stars align and Zykevious becomes an impact player on the field and it helps Auburn recruit his brother. If that doesn't happen, you wonder if one impacts the other.
Sure,
at all.
I think that when he left the team, I think that was in that window in time where there was some debate about whether kids were getting pushed out or playing. There was when some kids that wanted to redshirt, and there was some reporting on that. I think this staff sees him as a legitimate, valuable depth piece. I mean, he was a very talented player coming out of high school.
No kidding.
He was a pretty decent contributor as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gus Malzahn drew comparisons to, said he was a guy as a freshman that reminded him of Marlon Davidson and Derrick Brown as freshmen. So there is a high-level player in there. It's just a matter of, I think, building the confidence back up and getting him out there. I'm glad he's still at Auburn.
I mean, all right, quickly, all the Auburn commits are expected to be here. All 12 mm-hmm. of the commits are expected to be here. Other high-profile players coming in, we mentioned DeAndre Carter, the huge lineman out of Mater Dei in California. You mentioned Jalewis Solomon out of Schley County in Georgia. Zaquan Patterson is another defensive back from Chaminade Madonna down in Florida. Malcolm Simmons, we've talked about, from Alex City coming in. Duke Watson, four-star running back commit, who is a Louisville commit, visiting this weekend. And then Dimitri Nicholas is somebody you've heard some good things about.
As a nose tackle out of Florida, I think he's somebody that the staff believes in. I think he's somebody that some people out there think could be an addition to the commit list by the end of the weekend. Going back to KJ Bolden for a second, what's really interesting about that one is, if you could pull that one off at Buford High School with talent at that school,
Buford kids coming in this weekend, right?
Like I think some are.
That, multiple Buford. I mean, that's a loaded roster.
Yeah, so his
quarterback is
25 and 26.
Yeah, it's not just 24. I mean, that's an insane roster of Buford kids.
And his quarterback is the, former number one player in this class, the Georgia commit, Dylan Raiola. So it's going to Georgia. That'd be a big one if you could figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it should be very exciting. We'll talk about the news Monday with Brian Matthews. So everybody stay tuned, and we will do that on Monday. Dan Carter, have a great weekend.
Enjoy it.
We want to, hope everybody does as well. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. We are out of here.